Good evening, everyone. Wow, it's so great to look out among you and see so many familiar faces. It's great to be here in the morning services as well and see more of you. We're really grateful for every one of you and all the prayers that you offer up on our behalf. And so we want to thank you for that, and we'll continue to do that as we share. The passage that was read is a passage that we feel, as we were preparing to come back to Australia, we feel like God has sort of done this passage in us over the last 2.5 years since we've been gone, since we were last with you. And so we want to share a little bit about that. And so we're sort of merging a little bit of a sort of sermon idea, certainly from the Bible, with a bit of a report. And we want to start with this question: what's our place in mission? So you have sent us as part of a bigger team to be over there in Gijón, over there in the north of Spain. But what's our place in mission? What's our role in mission? What are we there for? And God has been speaking to us, and God has actually shown us to greater depths what our role is over there. So this is the passage that we've just read out. But we're going to narrow down on these verses. Thank you, Phoebe, for reading that so well. I'm just going to read this another couple of times for two reasons. One, because I want you to hear these verses in particular out of the wider passage that we read. But secondarily, because it shows a little bit about how we approach ministry in Spain. So often when we're reading the Bible with Christians, or as we're reading the Bible with non-Christians, and as we're reading the Bible in our Oxygen groups, in groups of Christians, this is how we do it. We read it twice. We listen to it. So I'll encourage you, if you want to read along, that's fine. It's up on the screen. You've got Bibles in front of you. If you want to close your eyes and just listen to it as well, I would encourage you to do that. And I'll read it twice through. And then we're going to ask some questions of the text. Okay? So let me start here in verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I'm going to read it a second time. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The two questions we're going to ask of this text are: what does this teach us about people, and what does this teach us about God, since God inspired this word so that in order to reveal himself to us? We want to understand what God wants to teach us about himself, and we want to understand what God wants to teach us about ourselves as well. So the first question we're going to ask is, what does this passage teach us about people? And we're going to go verse to verse. In verse 4, we see that unbelievers cannot see the light of the gospel. Verse 4. Verse 5, Paul saying we here, is referring to believers, are servants of Jesus. Verse 6, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is given to us. We don't own it. Unbelievers cannot see the light, and so therefore if we have the light, it must be given to us. Verse 7, and we contain this, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And then finally, this all-surpassing power of which he talks about in verse 7 is not from us. Now, if we go over this passage again, we can look at the question, well, what does this passage teach us about God? First of all, that Christ is the image of God. Christ is God. Verse 5, Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 6, it's God who made his light shine in our hearts. And the glory of God is in the face of Christ. That's where we see the glory of God, in Jesus. And this all-surpassing power is actually from God. We saw before about people that it's not from us, but in this case it is from God.
Lovely to see you. My turn now. And my colour is green. We stole this way of doing, looking at the Bible from John Piper. We didn't make it up. He does it in a much cooler way with a pen, but we're not that technologically gifted. I'm going to talk a little bit about, Shane's looked at what does it teach us about God and us, and I'm going to talk about how we've seen God teach us practically in the last couple of years since we've seen you last. What are the ways that he's taken this information and used things happening in our life to help us understand it in a deeper way? And I've got green as my colour. So the first thing is a really positive and fantastic thing. And we want to repeat again, thank you for your prayers for us, because we know that you're a faithful part of the team praying for us the whole time, and God answers your prayers. And he has kept us, in a way of speaking, like he's looked after us and cared for us in a really huge way over these last 2.5 years. And that's largely due to your prayers. Thank you. We love being on a team with you. And so thank you for praying for us. Because God has really taken us to an even deeper level of enjoying him, knowing him and enjoying him, each day pursuing him more. And like this passage says, God, the glory of God, which sometimes can be concepts that are a little bit intangible. We know we love God, we know God, but I love how this verse pushes us that the glory of God is in the face of Christ. God says in the Bible, you want to know me? Look at Jesus. You want more of me? Look at Jesus. It's always pushing us to Jesus. And we've really loved that over the last couple of years. God's just been bringing us to greater intimacy with Jesus. I think sometimes we can know a lot about Jesus, and he can even become almost like a passport. Yeah, I got my ticket. I've got Jesus. But am I pressing into him and actually knowing him? Am I relating to him in a daily, in a way, in a moment by moment, during the day kind of way? Because we can talk a lot about God, and even as missionaries, we can talk a lot about God and we can do a lot of stuff. But relating to Jesus is something different. And we've really enjoyed deepening our intimacy and our friendship with Jesus over the last couple of years. And we're really grateful because God's answered your prayers for us in that way. Next. This bit's not quite so fun. This passage shows us really clearly that we are jars of clay. And I'm not a big fan of this truth. A jar of clay is not very strong. If you get a jar of clay and you throw it against the wall or the floor, what's going to happen to it? It's probably going to smash, isn't it? And if you had to say, what is the most awesome thing you could make a jar out of? Clay's not super interesting or attractive, is it? So what God's wanting to say to us here is, you're pretty fragile, you're not strong, and you're not super attractive or fantastic to look at either. And I don't like that. I would much rather be strong and impressive. And I think sometimes in ministry and as missionaries, you think, wow, we need to be the impressive people. We need to be the Christians who have it together, who can show everyone else how great Jesus is. As if somehow by our effort, people can see how great Jesus is. And we love this passage because it's saying, you're clay, Ruth. You're clay, Shane. Sorry, you too. We're clay. And there's been lots of different ways over the last 2.5 years that we've seen our own personal clayness, our own personal inability to be impressive and strong. I personally have had some really embarrassing things happen in front of non-Christian friends when I've behaved in a very average way. It's been embarrassing. I don't like it. I would much rather them say, wow, Ruth, she's so shiny and impressive. And I think we've seen that a lot in other Christian workers as well, in other missionaries. Gosh. We are clay. And while that's depressing on the one hand, it's fantastic because it's Jesus who is the treasure, isn't he? We have him inside the clay pot, and he's the one that's great and awesome and impressive, and he's the one we want people to see. And unfortunately, he'll often show other people how great he is by our clayness, by our fragility and weakness and inability to be great. because in spite of how clay-ish I am, look how great Jesus is. So that's been a tough one over the last while. The next thing that we've loved from this passage that it really represents the journey God's had us on is this idea that we don't have the power. And we know that. We totally know that, don't we? If we had to fill out the quiz, who has the power, us or God? Obviously God. Who has the ability to save someone? Obviously not me, obviously God. We know the theory. But in practice, unfortunately, our lives betray our beliefs. Lots of things that we say we believe, in practice, we live out the opposite. So an example of that is that we would all say, yes, God is powerful, God is in control, and he loves me. In my day, do I worry? Yes. When I worry, I am practically not believing that God is in control and all-powerful and he loves me. So unfortunately, the proof of what we really believe is in our life. And we've been really pushed on this one. We've been pushed on, where is the power from? Does it come from us? No. This passage clearly tells us that the power is not from us. The power is from God. So if we want that power, we know that our non-Christian friends need to see Jesus, and we so want to be the ones to show it to him. And we do all have a part in that too. But if I haven't got the power, if I have absolutely no power to do the supernatural miracle of unblinding the eyes of unbelievers, where do I go? I go to the one who has the power, don't I? And what does that mean in practice? What does going to the one who has the power mean? Well, nice Sunday school answer. Very simple to know the answer. Much harder to live it out in practice. Prayer. If I truly believe that the only way that my non-Christian friends are going to see how awesome Jesus is if God does the supernatural miracle of unblinding their eyes, if I believe that's true and only he has the power, what is the most effective thing I can do? What is the most effective thing that any of us can do? It's pray, isn't it? And we all, in theory, again, know that prayer is important. We would say, yes, it's God. Yes, the best thing I can do is pray. But unfortunately, prayer often doesn't have that place that it needs to. Often the way we pray in our prayer lives betray a very different belief than what we would agree with in this passage. And we've been challenged on that. We were challenged on prayer before we went. Who here's a prayer partner? Who here knows what a prayer partner is? Yay, Lynn. Prayer partners, you pray for us weekly. Thank God for you, because he upholds us through your prayers weekly, and we are so grateful for that. And we were pushed on that by different people at college before we went. You need people to pray for you. Okay, good, yep, we've got our prayer partners who commit to praying for us once a week. And God said, yep, okay, you got that. Now get it some more. Okay, you're getting a bit more about prayer. Now you need to understand prayer a little bit more. And he just keeps pushing us on that. In the last couple of years, he has shown us how even when we think that we get that, even when we feel like we're praying, we're not. Our life betrays a confidence in my power to change people's life. And it doesn't show that I'm trusting in the all-surpassing power of God. And I think sometimes we kind of know that. We kind of know that we don't pray enough. And one response to that can be to feel guilty or to try and add it to your to-do list or to somehow get that out of the way and then get on with the rest. Yes, we'll meet and we'll pray and get that out of the way, tick the box, and then we'll get on. But it's we've also enjoyed seeing God take us on this journey of more of Jesus and enjoying him and delighting in God and having our relationship be the most delightful thing in our day. And if that's the case, does anyone have to remind me to pray? Do I feel like it's a task? That's been a great journey. And we've been on that journey with people from our church as well, into enjoying God more so that prayer is a natural part of enjoying God every day and not a task or a to-do list. Thank you for sending the team over. Thank you for sending the... We just so loved having our team from St. Aidan's, our first ever... What's that called? It's only inaugural if it happens every year. We wish it could happen every year. But our first ever team come over. Thank you for sending them. Who thought when they heard, the team are going over to Shane and Ruth and Hikon, what are they going to do? They're going to pray. Who thought that was entirely unimpressive? Come on, be honest. I bet some of you did. Because unfortunately, that's our attitude to prayer, isn't it? A guy who's probably dead, Oswald Chambers, is he dead? He said, prayer does not prepare us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Our best contribution is to pray. Your best contribution is to pray. And God has helped us believe that a little bit more during these last couple of years. So thank you for that. And hopefully that's encouraging, not to add it to your to-do list, but to pursue enjoying Jesus more. And that will hopefully bring a whole lot more prayer and a whole lot more practice of believing this passage into our lives. Yeah. And I always forget this last one. Purple. Power of God is to pray. Sorry.
We began this time by posing a question. Pose the question, what is our role? What is our part in God's mission? And we feel like God has revealed to increasing degrees what our role is and what our best contribution is. If we jump back right to the beginning of this passage, you'll see there those first couple of verses highlighted. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. See, what was important to Paul in this context, he's being essentially attacked by the Corinthian believers because there are these super apostles, as you'll call them later in this letter, who are essentially undermining his ministry. So he's defensive here. He's saying, no, my ministry is good. And he's saying that in verse 2 there, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. Our way is a way of integrity, he's saying. And then it continues on. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. Our message, our ministry has integrity too. So our person, our who we are, our being has integrity, and our ministry also has integrity. We're to be people of integrity. And then we've just worked through this passage and seen how our best contribution is to go to the one who has the power to unblind the minds of unbelievers. We don't have that power. God does. So our best contribution is to go towards prayer. And we're similar in that. Yes, we're on the other side of the world. Yes, we're present to what God wants to do over there. But you are just as much involved through your prayers from the other side of the world. And we step down into the last few verses here. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. When we left here in 2014, July of 2014, to go back for our fourth term, I think it was, things were going well. When we arrived back there, we saw that there was a momentum in the ministries that we'd set up that was exciting. We felt like for the first time we were having to keep up rather than slow down. We always wanted to mobilise those who were there because at any point in time we may leave. We may die, we might be brought home for different reasons, God might lead us elsewhere, whatever. But we know that the people there are going to continue on. And so we're wanting to invest there and to empower there. And so we were happy to go slow. But then when we arrived back, things were moving really quickly. And we thought, wow, this is great. We're having to keep up now. This is exciting. And things were going well. You sent the team, as Ruth mentioned. We were praying. We were searching for people who are sensitive to God, open to God. And then around the end of last year, we started to come under attack. There was a personal attack against me. There was a really difficult teammate that we had to help process out of our context. And then came the summer, which is June, July, August, and we saw a whole team in Pioneers. So Pioneers is made up of teams across the Iberian Peninsula, and I'm responsible for those teams. We saw a whole team up and leave. Two of the four families, I had to dismiss for sin. The other two left for different reasons, for further preparation and for the care of their children. Good reasons. But we lost a whole team in one go. You think that when you're sending missionaries, you're sending good people, hopefully great people. But we're nothing more than jars of clay. Now, when we try and esteem ourselves, when we try and build ourselves up, when we try and look shiny and good and classy, when we try and represent in ourselves the treasure, then we're actually taking some of that glory away from God. You see, the difference there is that we have this treasure in jars of clay, so that this all-surpassing, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So when we falsely try and show ourselves to be better than what we are, we're actually taking away some of that glory from God. We want Him to have all the glory, and it's so much more evident of the clayness, the clay-likeness that we are throughout this term. And so it's been a hard term in many ways. We started off accelerating. We're finishing this term having dealt with some really difficult issues. And that's where verses 8 and 9 come in, because we have been hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. And the reason is because we've been investing in prayer, because God has drawn us into more of Himself, that we were prepared to endure that. And so while everything else is pressing in on us, we're not consumed, because God is good and God is sustaining us and God is keeping us close. We are just jars of clay, but we carry this precious treasure into the people of Gijón, Asturias, Spain, Europe, the world. God has been so good to us. Thank you so much for investing in prayer for us. We're so grateful now that we even more don't see ourselves as the agents of which God is going to bring about change. Rather, He is the agent that will bring about change and is using us together with you to do that in Gijón, in our church, in our community, in our province, in this country of Spain. Thank you, and please keep praying. If you want to come along and hear more about some other things that are going on, please come along on Wednesday. But let me finish our time now with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the great work that you have done through the Lord Jesus Christ in bringing us to a knowledge of you and opening our eyes, giving us the light of the glory of the gospel. We could not see you without that, and you have done that work, and we're so grateful. Thank you that you have done that work in so many of these people here tonight, and thank you that you're doing it more and more in Spain and Australia and wherever we are right around the world, and we're honoured to be part of the team that you're using to do that. Lord, we know that we contribute nothing to your mission. Unblinding blinded eyes is only your work, but thank you for showing us your work up close. Thank you for involving us and revealing yourself to us through that work. Thank you for this church which upholds us in prayer, which invests so much in a powerful way by going to you, the source of all this all-surpassing power that we've heard of tonight. Lord, we're grateful for you, the work you're doing in us, the work you're doing around us, and everything that you will do in those contexts in the future. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.